A lemming blindly follows the crowd, while a leader has the courage to go her or his own way. So-called managers, who only describe and admire problems but don't really take any action to solve them, the responsibility for my own development lies first and foremost in myself. What kind of employees would you like to have in your environment? Lemmings or leaders? I think there are still a couple of managers, quite a number, who in fact prefer comfortable followers, who always follow through without flinching and do as they are told. In reality, by the way, in nature, real lemmings, those little animals, are much less thoughtless and much less obey blindly than some people think. In our context here, in the context of human leadership, however, the term lemming is often used metaphorically to describe people or groups who mindlessly follow the crowd without critically questioning where they are being led. I also use this term here in terms of blindly following. Yeah? A lemming blindly follows the crowd, while a leader has the courage to go her or his own way and inspires others to do the same. By the way, if you're joining the podcast here, the Lightwolf podcast, for the first time, a warm welcome. My name is Stefan Hohmeister, and my Lightwolf podcast is all about how you can become a better leader and spread around you the leadership you want to see. By the way, a short poll, if you please take part in a simple poll in the attachment that takes you less than 10 seconds, you just vote with yes or no. Do you have lemmings in your team? Question, yes or no. So it's quite a common topic. C-levels, middle managers, leaders, maybe you yourself, sometimes feeling I'd like different leadership around me. And I'd like people who to take more responsibility. Yeah? People who take more responsibility for certain decisions, for certain results. Do you know this feeling as well? Do you also have some of those people around you? So-called managers, who only describe and admire problems, but don't really take any action to solve them? To be honest, it's one of the things in my life that just drive me crazy. Do I always have the perfect solution right away? Of course not, I don't. But I always try to be part of the solution. Because if there is a problem and no one does anything, then everyone becomes part of the problem. Yeah? In every single moment when we deal with a problem, by our behavior, we define our contribution. Are we becoming part of the problem by just admiring it? Or are we becoming part of the solution by making a proposal, by offering help to a teammate to get things done and going? So it's important. And in high-performance teams, you have a lot of really good leaders who risk, who take decisions, and who solve problems rather than just admiring them. Here, three tips for you today, how you can turn followers into true leaders. One, clear leadership model and clear expectations. In more and more companies, we are invited to support a piece of work that can have a very profound impact on the culture and on the results, on the future health of a company and an organization. It's defining a clear leadership model. So what has proven very useful is to define leadership in one sentence. To take the time, you with your team, maybe you with your leadership team, to define the kind of leadership you want to see in your company. And if you can, condense it into one clear sentence that everyone can unite behind and say, yes, that's the kind of leadership I want to see around me, and that's the leadership I want to role model myself, in one sentence. Then you go and define it in a few principles, a few high-level words that that allow but also require still interpretation. For example, trust, which is, in my mind, the most important leadership principle of all. Your most important currency as a leader is the trust you earn from others. Or responsibility. What kind of responsibility behavior do you want to see? And that's the third level, the third element of a good leadership model that describes the leadership behavior that corresponds to the individual principles you've selected. And it should also define what behavior you're no longer willing to tolerate. If, for example, you feel your company is a bit too slow at times and it needs more pace because it needs to deliver better results, and one of the reasons is that people do not dare to take responsibility for their own decisions, then one of the simple behaviors you should stop tolerating is that in a discussion, there is a problem that's debated, and the debate ends with no solution, with no proposal. It should not be tolerated anymore. And that might be a behavior you want to use in defining your leadership model. And in that context, in that first tip, you should also decide what this leadership model is. Is this just an optional offer that people may want to consider or ignore? Or is this a firm expectation that everyone who designed this, including you as one of the senior leaders, commits to this and wants to role model all these behaviors yourselves, and therefore also has the right to expect this behavior from everyone in the organization? So is it an offer or an expectation? I vote for the latter. So this is tip one that you can take and that you can do and put into practice in order to turn lemmings into leaders. Tip two, develop leaders. Even if you defined in words, in a model, what good leadership looks like in your company, now the real work begins. Because now it's about developing leaders. If you are my boss, you're a great woman leading an entire company, and maybe I'm one of your directors reporting to you, and I need to develop, I want to develop, then question to you, who is actually responsible for my development? I think it's pretty clear. It's me, myself, first and foremost. I cannot just say, hey, dear boss, I'm ready, please develop me. Very nice. Bring me some leadership drink. I'd like to drink it and be a better leader. Yeah, very nice. But it doesn't work that way. You should remind me, if necessary, that the responsibility for my own development lies first and foremost in myself. And you, in my view, are co-responsible. You're the co-pilot of my development. And you can either hamper or strengthen my development. And I think it would be useful if you and I were to align in a clear, precise, focused development plan what I'm already doing well as a leader. For example, maybe I'm creating clarity. Maybe I'm using precise words when I say something. Maybe I'm trustworthy because I keep my commitments and I do what I promise to do in quality and on time. That might be a strength of mine. However, it might be a perceived weakness of mine that I'm not that good in presenting in an inspiring manner in front of audiences. Maybe I'm not. So let's define what I should improve next. Maybe it is also leading others better in the sense of picking them up along the way, picking them up where they are, rather than where I want them to be. So really picking people up where they are for a change journey rather than at the destination where I want them to get at the end of the time. Let's also have an effective development discussion, well prepared on both sides, you as my line manager and me for myself. And then let's define few topics, not 7 or 10. Let's define the 2 or 3 decisive ones for my development, and a top strength and a top weakness where I just need to improve. And then help me uncover the barriers. Because there is a reason why I do what I do and why I don't do what would be better for you and for me and for our company's results. It's a barrier. It's often a barrier in my own thinking. It's often a barrier in my own mind. Why am I as a leader not yet doing what would be better for all of us? Typically, there is three reasons for this. And often they are sitting in my own brain. They are sitting in my mind. Blind spots. Am I not aware of something that I should be aware of? Fear. Am I just scared of something? Or convenience. Am I just simply too lazy to change myself? But more often than not, the reason for my own lack of faster development sits between my own ears. It's a barrier in my thinking. Let me give you a life example from last week. A CHRO of a DAX company, German DAX company, he tells himself, quote, "I can only speak inspiringly in front of small groups and one to one. I cannot speak inspiringly in front of bigger groups," unquote. I am convinced that this man has developed a self-imposed barrier over time. Never practiced, which more further and further confirmed this barrier in his mind. My view, complete and utter bullshit. I know this man now well enough to know that he is a great business leader. He is has been very successful over decades. He likes people. He cares for people. He makes people want to work with and for him. It's bullshit that he can't do it. Of course he can. Maybe he hasn't practiced it. And for sure, yes, he educated himself of not being able to. But that's exactly what I'm going to work on with him, right? So last time I shared with him three simple tools that just condense all what I've learned about inspiring groups and a task. And we will see next time where he starts. And then we'll see after 5 or 10 presentations how far he gets. I'm convinced he will get very far. Yeah. So I think part of a good development conversation is first being well prepared, being specific, being selective, select few topics, and then being clear on action. Who does what? So when you and I, you as my boss and me as me, define what we do in order to improve my competence, my leadership behavior, then first I should say what I do to address a weakness, and then maybe you can help me. And you would say what you do to support me. Let's say on this example regarding speaking and inspiring groups. One of the things that I will do is that I will ask for projects or propose projects where I will have to speak in front of groups. I just force myself, right? Because 70% of my development happens while doing my work on the job. So why not request and receive a project that is multifunctional, involves many, many people, and involves the need to speak in front of a bigger group that will force me to do what I'm scared of. 20% of my development would be if you were kind enough to coach me on the job, to give me specific feedback on what I'm doing well and what I can improve so that I can turn your feedback into action. So coaching on the job. And 10% might be you, for example, allowing me to go to a theater course, a simple layman's private theater course, where 10 times I'm forced to be on a stage and talk and receive feedback from theater professionals. That's a method that has often helped people. It is a method that has helped me, because when I was young, I was nervous about speaking in front of major audiences. Today, I'm much less nervous. I have a lot of respect for this task, but I like it. And one of the reasons I like it comes from what I've learned together with theater professionals. or you allow me to take a coach. Yeah? More and more leaders take an individual coaching for some time to work on themselves, to help themselves become a better version of themselves. And last but not least, you as my boss, you as my line manager, you can help me learn by giving me specific, honest, and precise feedback that I can translate into action. So that's number two. And number three, measure and reward. Already Peter Drucker said, quote, "You get what you measure," unquote. So true. Only when people are made aware of how their own leadership behavior is perceived by others, how it really impacts others, and when this measurement has consequences, so you make me aware of things I'm doing well, you make me aware of things I need to improve, only then will I start to really continue changing my own development, my own behavior. So measure and reward. In summary, three tips that I would like to share with you how to transform followers into true leaders. One, clear leadership model and clear expectations. Two, develop leaders. Three, measure and reward. And if you too want to find ways how to establish that stronger leadership culture in your organization, if you want an environment where people really grow themselves and grow others into stronger leaders, and if you're interested in sharing your task, your challenge, your question with me, go into the show notes, book a slot in my diary, and we are going to have a conversation. I look forward to listening to you. And one last thing, if you could be kind enough to just give us feedback, yeah? Give us feedback on how to improve this podcast. Because only when you tell us what works and what we can do others otherwise and better, we can continuously improve the service we are offering here to you. So that's the Lightwolf podcast for today. Lemming or leader? How to transform followers into true leaders. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for your time. Have a fantastic week. And I look forward to welcoming you again here in the Lightwolf podcast very soon. Thank you and goodbye. Your Stefan.